technical and organizational progress in the production. A speech in 1924. Improvement and increase of industrial production is based on technological and organizational progress. Technological progress has already brought unexpected development and well-being to humanity, particularly under favorable conditions, of course. Mechanical power replaces people in many instances, and as a consequence, there is a considerably greater output of goods with much less work than 100 years ago. Inventors and entrepreneurs should be, in the first place, credited for the improved quality of life. In our country, industrial and agriculture entrepreneurs are needed more than inventors, because many inventions lie unexploited in the archives of our patent office due to lack of entrepreneurs. The extent of affluence of the workers and of the entire population depends on the quantity of mechanical power used in the country. Conversely, the quantity of mechanical power depends on the extent of entrepreneurship. The mechanical power utilized by the state should not be included into this quantity. State-managed enterprises do not increase the rate of affluence of the population because they shun competition. Yet only competition forces an enterprise, no matter who manages it, to transfer the achievements of progress immediately to the worker and to the consumer. Besides the insufficient enterprising spirit of our population, our falling behind certain Western countries in the exploitation of mechanical power was also caused by the animosity machines had to face at the beginning. Machines were considered for a long time an enemy of the workers. 30 years ago, I have myself seen a shoemaker journeyman breaking a sewing machine because he considered it his competitor. Such a resistance was, however, already overcome by the progressing education of our population. Power and machinery were therefore used in our country, similar to other European countries, particularly in manufacturing, where complicated organization is not required, as the difficulty of the production organization increases in proportion with the number of workers needed to manufacture a product. For instance, the organization of handmade bricks is relatively easy because the same worker digs and mixes the clay, forms the bricks, and puts them in the oven. More complicated already is a mechanized brick production, where each of the upper-mentioned processes have to be done by a different group of people with different concerns as to the quality and time of their performance. Without a good organization, and despite the use of machines, the output would be smaller than if each worker would work independently by hand. As a consequence, wages would be low and brick prices high. The same and more applies to products consisting of mainly precisely processed parts, each one of them produced in another workshop and passing through many hands. In such cases, a coordination of people is the most important prerequisite of a successful result. It is necessary that all people concerned be motivated by the same ideas and do their work not only with their hands, but also with their hearts, similarly to the work of a farmer. Only thus could be achieved results satisfying all concerned, that is, the customers, the workers, and the manufacturers. However, such a teamwork was in the past often troubled by the notion of the workers that the profit is not properly divided. The highly developed American industry has already solved this extremely difficult problem, leading the rest of the world toward the only right way. Certain American industrialists dedicated their enterprises to public service. By giving top priority to the interests of their customers and workers, they won their hearts. As a consequence, workers and customers stay faithful and favor that enterprise which made it its goal to serve them. It is a very noble, as well as a very special competition. The workers are better paid. The customers get better merchandise for very low prices. And the enterprises are expanding almost daily. Such enterprises manufacture only goods generally useful for the customers. They control all the raw material production related to their own manufacturing, and it is obvious that this policy will become more and more prevalent in the industrial production everywhere. It looks extremely easy, but it is far from it. It is mainly a moral issue. In their hearts, these industrialists have given up all the advantages of their privileged situation, assuring them comfortable life, and became the first workers of their enterprises. They are taking the largest portion from the common dish of duties and the smallest portion from the dish of privileges. Such personal sacrifices are sanctifying their work and make them not only worthy of the trust of their workers and customers, but also invincible by their competitors. For this great example, we owe America more thanks than for all the marvelous modern technical inventions, from the lighting rod to the telephone. This road will lead human society toward peace and stability, and ensure each working person a degree of wealth commensurate to his contribution.